A couple of weeks ago, Anna Quinlan announced that she would be giving up her New York Times editorial page column in January to write novels full-time. Should Quinlan have given up her day job? Critic Maureen Corrigan has read Quinlan's second novel, One True Thing, and has these thoughts.
This past August, I was sitting around with some friends at the Jersey Shore, and we were having a conversation about our fantasy jobs. Everybody, predictably, wanted to be the great American novelist. Our beach reading, however, was strictly lowbrow. We were passing around a copy of Vanity Fair magazine, which featured an article ripping into Anna Quinlan for being too touchy-feely in her New York Times columns. My friends and I grandly decided the criticism was probably good for Quinlan. It might embolden her to give tougher opinions on world events. And sure enough, a few days ago, Quinlan wrote a column blasting President Clinton's decision to invade Haiti, something she never quite did during the Gulf War. But so what? Quinlan has decided she's going to live what my friends and I only dream about. She's going to become a full-time novelist. That announcement coincided with the publication of her novel, One True Thing. For us Quinlan fans, who see it as the cause of her imminent disappearance from the editorial page, this novel may be the most resented work of art since The American Cousin. That's the play Abraham Lincoln went to see the night he was assassinated. But I like One True Thing. Though it's not Middlemarch, it's an atmospheric and surprisingly old-fashioned novel about a daughter's conflicted sense of duty towards her parents. Ellen Goulden is a hip, Harvard-educated magazine writer living in Manhattan. When her mother, Kate, learns she has terminal cancer, Ellen's father summons her home. Ellen reluctantly complies, mostly because she's always lived up to her father's demands. He's an English professor, a charismatic, intellectual bully. Over the next few months, Ellen's idealized opinion of her father crumbles, while she gains a new respect for her mother. Ellen cooks, cleans, and nurses her mother through chemotherapy. But the experience of being a caretaker is insightfully nuanced here. Ellen says, "I felt as though I were sinking beneath the weight of a life I'd always viewed with something even more dismissive than contempt. A life I had viewed as though it were a feature in National Geographic, the anachronistic traditions of a distant tribe." Finally, Ellen's mother dies, and Ellen is arrested on suspicion that she gave her mother a fatal, merciful dose of morphine. I actually think One True Thing would have had more gravitas as a novel without the euthanasia plot. In retrospect, the murder by morphine mystery, with its gimmicky O. Henry ending, only detracts from the seriousness of Ellen's struggle to salvage herself as she relinquishes her mother to death. Quinlan beautifully captures the lulling, hermetically sealed routine of the sick room and the brutal way that illness can rip apart a family's shared fictions. After reading One True Thing, I'm not so angry at Quinlan for deciding to devote herself to novel writing. She's good, and if she can make a living at it, well, mazel tov. But Quinlan's readers will pay a price. They must now exchange the regular, precise recognitions obtained from reading an uncommonly alert journalist for the more intermittent spectacle of the big book. I'm still not sure yet whether this is a good trade.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed One True Thing by Anna Quinlan.